All right, we're starting here on the top of Yudam and Aleph by the Gemara. Yesterday we finished off with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah described what you do with Trumat HaLishka. The basic premise was with Trumat HaLishka, you use it to buy the Korbanot HaTzibur. That's the basic usage of the Trumat HaLishka. In addition, the Mishnah mentioned that you can use Trumat HaLishka to pay the people who watch the Sfichim in the Shvi'it, so that they could bring those for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, because you need new produce to bring the Omer and the Shtei Alechem from. And so they needed somebody to watch the Sfichim, the aftergrowths in the Shvi'it, in order to bring it from those items. Rabbi Yossi has a differentiated opinion there and says that people can volunteer to watch over there. You don't actually have to pay them. They volunteer and watch it and then give it to the Mikdash. That's fine, which comes down to a fundamental difference in the opinion between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim as to whether a person who has private ownership over an item can donate that to the Mikdash. He has to give it full-fledged to the Mikdash. He has to give it over to the Tzibur. Do we accept such an item? The Chachamim believe that it has to be done through the Lishka. Everything has to be purchased by the Tzibur as a whole. If there's private ownership in between, we have a problem. So that's why they have to hire somebody to watch the Sfichim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi believes even if a person takes possession of it, as long as he gives over in a full manner to the Tzibur, then that's fine. And that's why he says you can have a person watch it voluntarily and take possession of it and then hand it over to the Tzibur afterwards. Now we begin the Gemara. Ma ra'a zman atzei kohanim va'am limanot. So what is this business of the time of the atzei kohanim va'am limanot? The Gemara here is referencing Megillat Tanit. Megillat Tanit, which has a list of holidays that they celebrated during Bayit Sheni. And that list of holidays, amongst them is the 15th of Av. And listed on the 15th of Av, those days that are listed there are Asur b'Hesfeid, Asur b'Tanit. You're not allowed to fast on them. You're not allowed to have eulogies on them. I mean, they're days generally of Simcha. The two that we're most familiar with that are listed there are Chanukah and Purim. So amongst that list is the 15th of Av. And the reason they give for that is Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am. It's the time for the Etzim, the Kohanim, the wood of the Kohanim, and the Am, the rest of the Am. Now the Gemara in Tanit describes to us that there were families when they came back during the second Bayit. After the Gola, there were families who stood up and donated the wood to the Mikdash. And the Nevi'im granted those families the rights to donate the wood to the Mikdash in the future, which means that those dates were set as specific dates where we accepted wood from those individuals. As we'll see today, that they get precedence. If they're going to donate the wood, it goes before any other wood that we have in the Maracha because of what they did early on in the Bayit. So now the truth is that any time a person brings a korban to the Mikdash, it's a Yom Tov for him on that day. The same is true if he brought up Eitzim, he brought up wood on that day, it would be a Yom Tov for him. So why does Megillat Tanit specify on the 15th of Av, which is the family of Zidva that brings on that day? And in addition to that, it tells us not only do they bring, but anybody who didn't know their Shevet, and in the rest of the Am, everybody who wanted to bring their wood up on that day. So why did that day take on more significance than the other days? Why is that a Yom Tov vis-a-vis all the other days that they brought up wood and would have been a personal Yom Tov anyway? Why is this more of a public Yom Tov on that day? And so that's the question that's being posed here. Mara'a zman atzei kohanim v'am limanot ela shasholu Yisrael min ha-gola v'lo matzu etzim b'lishka, came up from the gola and they didn't have sufficient wood in the treasuries. V'amdu elo v'nit advu, these people got up and donated etzim mishal atzman, of their own personal wood. They gave from their own personal wealth to the Mikdash. U'misarum l'tzibur, and then they handed them over to the public. V'kirvu mehen karbanot tzibur, and they placed them on the mizbeach, and they used them for the karbanot tzibur. V'itnu imahem nevi'im shebenehem, the nevi'im amongst them made a deal with them. Afilu lishkam le'ah itzim, even if the storehouses of the Mikdash were full of wood. V'amduelu v'nit nadvu, and these individuals came and donated itzim mishal atzman, of their own accord and of their own possessions, they gave over wood. They got first right of refusal to donate the wood and to have the wood used in the Mikdash. So now that is the reason given why this day became a special day, is because of that unique aspect here, is that the people gave and donated wood on that day when the Mikdash was short, and that made it into a special day. So because of that, they made it into a broader holiday to recognize the Mesirat Nefesh of these individuals that gave to the Mikdash in a time when they didn't have, and they didn't have the opportunity to get the whole Tzibur and collect the money necessary for it. So now, Amar Rabbi Acha, this is why it's relevant to us, Amar Rabbi Acha to Rabbi Yossi. What we just said here, from Megillat Tanit, that position must be authored by Rabbi Yossi, because the Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afarotzeb mitnadev shomer chinam, our Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Yossi says that you can volunteer to watch the Sfichim. So what you see here is that private ownership is not an impediment to actually donating to the tzibur. Because over here you have the etzim, where it's clear here that the etzim that were brought were private etzim, donated to the tzibur, and then the tzibur uses them for the korbanot tzibur. Similar to what Rabbi Yossi says in our Mishnah, that the Shomer Chinam can wash the Sfichim, he'll take possession of them because they're coming from Hefker, and then he'll donate them to the Mikdash. So Rabbi Yossi must be the author of that position. That is the statement of Rabbi Acha over here. Rabbi Acha, fourth generation Amora from Eretz Yisrael, says that's authored by Rabbi Yossi. Long comes Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Ilah. So Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Ilah, was also a fourth generation Amora, in the name of a third generation Amora. Divrei Hakohi. No, that is according to everyone. Why? Ma pligin. What's the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah? Begufo shel korban. That's only talking about the actual physical korban. Aval b'machshirei korban, the things that facilitate the ability to bring the korban, ko'alma, modiei, pule'alma, everybody agrees, shehu mishtaneh, korban yachid, the korban tzibur. Private ownership can be translated or transferred into public ownership. So what the suggestion of Rabbi Yossi is over here, is that the braita that we just brought from Ta'anit, with the explanation along with it, is not necessarily authored by Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, but it could also be the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim only specified or necessitated that it be from the Tzibur when it came to the Karban itself. Anything else could have come through private ownership. So now we have Tane, another Breita. Isha, Shasta, Ketonet, Livna. A woman made a Ketonet for her son, the Kohen. She has a son who's a Kohen. She wanted to give him a personal Ketonet. So she makes a personal ketonet from him. In general, the bigdei kuhuna are purchased through the Trumata Lishka. So now, she's giving a private ketonet, which is normally bought from the Lishka. Tzricha limsor, tzibur. She has to give it over to the tzibur. She has to give it over fully to the tzibur, to the ownership of the tzibur. Tzricha limsor the tzibur, which is the way the Girsha should read here, leaving out some of the words there, putting in some of the words they took out and putting it back in. Tzricha limsor the tzibur. Amar Rabbi Acha, so Rabbi Acha again says, Rabbi, same Rabbi Acha we saw before, the Rabbi Yossi, of the same opinion. This is Rabbi Yossi. Breita that we just brought over here, similar to the previous Breita that we brought before, is authored by Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afarot Zemid and Dev, Shomer Chinam. Like he says in our Mishnah, private ownership can be transferred into public ownership, so too with the Ketonet over here. Private ownership can become public ownership. So Rabbi Yose, B'shem, Rabbi Ilah, so the other Amora's opinion who disagrees says, Divrei Hakohi. This is according to everyone. So Ma Pligin, where do the Chachamim argue? Begufo shel Karban. Vav Makshirei Karban, Kol Am Amodei, Shehu Mishtaneh, Karban Yachid, the Karban Tzibur. They only argue about the physical Karban, the core Karban, things that are facilitating the korban, like the kohanim and the clothes that the kohanim wear that makes them into kohanim, those do not have this issue of transference from private ownership into public ownership. Now Gemara says, Matnita plige al Rabbi Yossi. The Braita argues on Rabbi Yossi, Otana yamim noagim bishat korban, bishlo bishat korban. Rabbi Yossi omer, ino noagim el bishat korban. Now there's a big issue with the girsa over here. We'll follow the girsa that's found here in our Gemaras, and this is the girsa that was found in Yerushalmi. The Gra changes the girsa, because you'll see in a minute why. The Rabbi Yossi we're describing over here is not the Tana, the Rabbi Yossi, but the Amora, Rabbi Yossi. So the Rabbi Yossi over here we're saying is, this Braita is against what Rabbi Yossi said, which is that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yossi in the end. The Chachamim say that we can transfer private ownership to public ownership, as long as it's not the core Karban. As long as it's an ancillary item, then we're okay with it going from private ownership to public ownership. So now, supposedly, this Braita disproves that fact. So now, if you read the Braita on face value, it seems to be supporting his position rather than upending his position. Because the Braita says, Otana yamim, those days that are mentioned, those days of the Karban Eitzim, those days mentioned in the Mikdash Tanit, Noagim, Bishat Korban, Uvshalosha Korban. And wait, both in the time of the Mikdash and the time when there is no Mikdash. So whether the Mikdash is extant or not, the holidays continue. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eina Noagim El Bishat Korban. Now this Rabbi Yossi is the Tano, Rabbi Yossi, who says they only are in effect Bishat Korban, Bilvad, when the Mikdash is extant. That's the only time that you have them. So what you seems here is that the Chachamim seem to agree. that these karbanot can be brought, these wood days, when people brought out private wood up to the Mikdash, seems to be that they agree that you can do it. And therefore, the Gra changes it and says, Matnita pligi al Rabbi Acha. This Braita argues on Rabbi Acha, who says that all the memorot that we said before were uniquely Rabbi Yose's. And look, the Braita says, the Chabim agree that there is karban etzim as well. Now, from the original Kitvei Yad of the Yerushalmi, it says, Matnita pligi al Rabbi Yose, on the Amora Rabbi Yose, and the reason is, because according to the Chachamim, these days were holidays, and they were just Zikaron Ba'alma. They were days of remembrance, days to remember the deeds done by those individuals on the days. How do I know that's the case? Because they say it continues even after the destruction of the Mikdash. So that means that there was no real bringing of wood up to the Mikdash. It was simply a day of remembrance, or a day to remember those deeds done by those individuals. And it continues even after Churban HaBayit. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, only during the Beit HaMikdash did it apply, because they're bringing up real wood to the Mikdash. So then, what is the machloket here in this Braita? Machloket is whether they brought private wood up to the Mikdash or not. According to Rabbi Yossi, they were donating real wood on these days. They're donating real wood means that you have private ownership being transferred over to the Tzibur. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi believes, like in our Mishnah, that you can take private ownership and transfer it into the Tzibur. On the other hand, the Chachamim say it's simply a day to remember. It wasn't a day where they brought up wood physically or in any real sense. It's a day to remember what they had done at that time, first in the Mikdash. And therefore, since it's only a day to remember, even after Churban HaBayit, it's still relevant to remember that day. And therefore, it continues even after Churban HaBayit. But based on that, the Chachamim don't believe that they actually brought up wood. Private wood was not donated to the Mikdash. And that supports the position of Rabbi Acha. That supports Rabbi Acha, who says that all of this is only Rabbi Yose and not the Chachamim, and is therefore against Rabbi Yose the Amora, who says everything here is Divrei Hakol. The one question you have to pose here, according to the Chachamim, is, we know in Nehemiah that they did bring wood, and they brought private wood up to the Mikdash. You don't have any choice there. They did bring private wood, and they used it for the Tzibur. What they're going to answer here, the Chachamim, is Shatat Chak. They had no choice in that case. There was no option. If we have an option, it's going to come from the Tzibur. Over there, there was no wood. So the only option was to take private donations. There was a Shatat Chak, we let it go. But otherwise, we do not set that as a paradigm or a precedent to continue that practice when it's not necessary. So therefore, this is a question on Rabbi Yose, according to the way we have it laid down in our Gemara. Kind of according to the Gra, it's a question on Rabbi Acha. Face value, it seems like the Gra is right, but now if we delve into a little deeper, I think that it can stand as a question on Rabbi Yose de Amora. Va'od min hada. Also from this, we could bring that same proof, which is the Tanya. We have a Braita. Amar Rabbi Elazar. It's got to be Elazar, not Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. Anu Ayinu Bibnei Sana. We were from the family of Sana ben Binyamin. Nehemiah. In Ezra Nehemiah, they list out the families that actually came up to the Gola, as well as those that were donating to the Mikdash. One of the families was Sana ben Binyamin. I mean, there were families mostly from Yehuda. There was one family from Binyamin, which was this Sana ben Binyamin. Bechal Tisha B'Av liot b'Shabbat. Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbat. Their day of bringing up wood to the Mikdash was the 10th of Av. The Sana ben Binyamin, that was their family's day. And it turned out in that year, Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbat. V'dachinu otol motzei Shabbat. And the Chachamim pushed off the Tisha B'Av to motzei Shabbat. Tisha B'Av shenidchei, it happens all the time. Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, you push it off until Sunday. Vayinu mit'anim velo mashlimim. And we fasted, but we did not finish off the fast. We fasted, but we didn't fast the whole day because of our Yom Tov that was associated with the Eitzim that we brought up to the Mikdash. So we did a partial fast, we didn't finish it off, we ate by the end of the day in order to recognize it as a day of Yom Tov, but not to totally override the fact that it was Tisha B'Av. So what's the proof from here? The assumption, and this is an interesting assumption, is that, well, if they were celebrating Tisha B'Av, this is not during Bayit Sheni. So if it's not during Bayit Sheni, and they're still celebrating the days of Atzei Kohanim, Atzei Am, they're celebrating those days, which means that that has to be a Zecher. It means it's the position of the Chachamim. Since it's the position of the Chachamim, you see, again, that it has nothing to do with really bringing up Eitzim to the Mikdash. It has to do with making it into a Zecher, to remember that day, and therefore it continued even post Zman HaMikdash. Now again, that's a serious question that's asked by the Rishonim. In the past, we have discussed this and put out the Mikorot with regards to this, whether there was Tisha B'Av during Bayit Sheni. Does there, is there a day of Tisha B'Av? Do they fast on Tisha B'Av during Beit Sheni? And it's very unclear. And a major machloket in the Rishonim as to whether Tisha B'Av still exists during Beit Sheni. So that's the way to read it. Again, the Gra is going to read this as a proof to Rabbi Yosei that here the Chachamim again, you see them saying that it's okay to bring up wood because not that it's a Zecher, but they also agreed with this holiday. This holiday is not just according to Rabbi Yosei, it's according to everyone, and therefore there was private wood donated. I think the easier way to read it is the way that we're reading it, that it's a Zecher and not simply a bringing of the wood.
Private Yom Tov overrides a public
Tanit. Likely, because it's not Bo Bayom, because it's Nidchait, they were Mekiel in the Tanit, and had it been Tisha B'Av itself, obviously they wouldn't have made it a holiday. Omer, Mishtei Alechem, Velechem Vapanim, Vechol Gomenot Tzibor, is a quote from the Mishnah, question of whether it's relevant to this section, because what ends up happening now is the Gemara is laid out backwards. The first section, we address the issue of Rabbi Yosei's opinion in the Mishnah, which is the latter half of the Mishnah. Now we're going back to the front half of the Mishnah, which discusses what they brought with the Korbanot HaTzibur. So it almost seems like the whole Gemara that we just read should have been later on in the chronological order of the Gemara. Now we're going to leave in what's in parentheses here, which is Matnita de Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Yishmael Omer, in Omer Ba Min Surya. You can't bring the Omer from Surya. Surya are the lands adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, up towards in the northeast of Eretz Yisrael, where we're Nechbishai, they David HaMelech. David HaMelech conquered those areas, but they were not fully Nitkadesh, according to the Gemara, because they were Kibush Yachid. Since they were Kibush Yachid, they were conquered by an individual. Machloket Rashi Tosafot, what that means, Kibush Yachid, does that mean that it was done by one individual, meaning David, and not by all of Klal Yisrael? Or does it mean that the entirety of Eretz Yisrael was not captured prior to David went out and captured these areas? So by definition, it becomes a Kibush Yachid because he didn't finish off the job inside Eretz Yisrael before they went out to the northeast. So because of that, Surya has this twilight type of status in Halacha with regards to Shvi'it, Trumot HaMasrot. The Chachamim imposed on these areas Trumot HaMasrot, despite the fact that they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, but they did not impose Shvi'it on the area. So if you were able to bring the Omer, or the Shtei Alechem, from Surya, then you would not run into a problem on Shvi'it of having to use Svichim. Use the aftergrowths, because you simply bring it from Surya, where they were not Noeg Shvi'it. So if they're not Noeg Shvi'it, then we have a solution to the problem. So the fact that our Mishnah allows you to bring from the Svichim must be according to the position of Rabbi Shmo, who says you may not bring from Surya. You may not bring the Omer from Surya. It must be brought from inside of Eretz Yisrael. Since that's brought within inside of Eretz Yisrael, then you're faced with the issue of Shemitah or Shvi'it. And that's why our Mishnah is talking about the issue or how they dealt with Shemitah and bringing of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Now the reason that they take it out of the Girsa over here is because Rabbi Shmuel is going to be repeated below again. This exact member is going to be quoted below again. But the reason it's quoted below again is to ask a question on it, to bring an opposing opinion. So that's why here the Gemara brings it Stam, and then later on they're going to quote it again to bring the opposing opinion. So we'll leave it in because of that. Now Taman, Taninan. Over there in Menachot we have a Mishnah. Kol Karbanot HaYachid V'Tzibur Ba'im Min HaAretz Min HaChutz LaAretz. You can bring any Karbanot from whether it's inside of Eretz Yisrael or from things that are outside of Eretz Yisrael, min hachadash u min hayashan, it can come from the new produce, the old produce, chutz, the exception to that rule is Omer u'shtei alechem. The Omer u'shtei alechem she'im ba'im ela min hachadash u'min haaretz. They have to come from what the new produce, plus they have to come min haaretz. They've come from inside of Eretz Yisrael. Now you have Rabbi Chona, b'shem Rabbi Yirmiah. Rabbi Chona is Rabbi Huna, the fourth generation Amora. In the name of Rabbi Yirmiah, third, fourth generation Amora, the Rabbi Shmalhi. That Mishnah Menachot has to be authored Rabbi Shmal. Similar genre to what we just saw in the previous Gemara, which is all these Mishnayot follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Gemara's going to do the same thing over here, say all of these follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Shmal Omer, in Omer Ba, min Surya. Since the Omer can't come from Surya, that Mishnah that we just quoted from Menachot makes sense that it's authored by Rabbi Shmal, because it says you can only bring it from Eretz Yisrael, which accords with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Taman Taninan, another Mishnah, Mishnah in Kelim. Mishnah in Kelim says, Eser Kedushot Haim, there's 10 levels of Kedusha. There are lists off different levels as you move from Chutz Laaretz, Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim to the Mikdash, Mikdash through the Mikdash. All those are different levels of Kedusha. In describing the difference between Eretz Yisrael, Mikudesh, and Mikol Haaretzot, Eretz Yisrael has a higher level of Kedusha than any of the other lands. Mahi Kedushata. What is that unique status of Eretz Yisrael? Shemivim mimenu haomer vabikurim u'shtei alechem. Anshei mivim kei mikol haaretzot. Omer, bikurim, and shtei alechem have to come from the produce inside of Eretz Yisrael, which is not true of any other land outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now we have Rabbi Pona again, B'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, the same way that we quoted before, same Amora, the Rabbi Shmohi. That Mishnah in Kelim is authored by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, in Omer Ba, min Surya. And that's why, that's a differentiating factor between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, that the Omer and Shtei Alechem Bikurim only come from Eretz Yisrael. Taman Taninan, another Mishnah, Shvi'it now. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Macharish Rishut, Af Katsir Rishut. This is a machloket between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ishmael. The Pasuk says, Becharish ubekatsir tishbot. The first half of the Pasuk is speaking about Shabbat. The latter half of the Pasuk, questionable about what it's speaking about. So then it says, Becharish ubekatsir tishbot. So you have a machloket there between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael as to the definition or the explanation of that pasuk of Harish v'Katsir Tishbot. Here we have Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, which is, Ma Harish Rishut, just like Harish is something that you do optionally, there's no mitzvah to plow. We have no mitzvah in the Torah to plow in any circumstances. Af Katsir Rishut, so too, the harvesting is Rishut, meaning the restriction on Shvi'it, and according to the Bavli, the restriction on Shabbat only applies when it's Rishut, when it's optional. On the other hand, Yatzak Tzira Omer, the Tzira Omer is left out. Now, Shu Mitzvah may not be part of the Girsa here, but it's the definition of what we're saying is because Tzira Omer is a mitzvah, therefore, it's not bound by this explanation. That means that on Shabbat, you can do Tzira Omer. It violates Shabbat. You can override Shabbat. You can also violate Shvi'it. In that, if it's on Shvi'it, you're allowed to do Tzira because it's Tzira Omer, which is a mitzvah, not a reshut. So that's the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Position of Rabbi Shmuel is that this pasuk comes to teach you that something that's for a mitzvah overrides Shvi'it. And again, according to the Bible, overrides Shabbat as well. So now Gemara says here, Rabbi Shmuel kedate. Rabbi Shmuel is the shitato. The Shmuel amar. So now this is the same quote that we saw before. Ein omer ba min surya. That's why they eliminated earlier on, because now we're quoting it again over here. This is according to his own shita, that the omer can't come from surya. So therefore, Yatzak Tzir Omer, Shu Mitzvah. The Tzir Omer is left out because it is a mitzvah. The two are connected. The fact that he requires you to bring it from inside of Eretz Yisrael, that means that the Tzirat Omer Mao by definition becomes a mitzvah to do it. Because you can't bring from what is already harvested, number one. Number two is, you can't bring it from outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that forces it to be Tzirat Omer as a mitzvah within Eretz Yisrael. Well, if it's a mitzvah within Eretz Yisrael, then it's going to automatically override Shvi'it, because there's no other way to bring it. So Gemara says, Have ma'antana shomrei tzvichit b'shvi'it notlim skaram mitrumat alishka. So we pose the question, who is the Tana that says that the shomrei tzvichit b'shvi'it get their skar out of the trumat alishka? So Gemara again says, Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Ishmael, because Rabbi Ishmael demands that the Omer comes from within Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's going to need Shomer Tzvichim, because that's the only way to get Omer and Shtei Alechem during the Shvi'it year. Amar Rabbi Yosei, the same Amora above, who said, Divrei Akohi, with regards to the positions of Rabbi Yosei versus the Chachamim, over here chimes in again and says, Divrei Akohi. Our mission can be not only be Rabbi Shmuel, lo matzu b'suria, mevinotam isvichim shveretz Yisrael. He says, I'll tell you what, how to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is even according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you go to Syria first. But what happens if there's nothing in Syria? They can't find produce in Syria. Then they come back to Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to have to take from Svichim. So yes, it's not lichat chila. It's a secondary option. The secondary option is if you don't bring it from Syria, then you can bring it from Eretz Yisrael. But that way our Mishnah can be divrei hakol. How do they get it in time? Because they could do the Ktzira beforehand. The Ktzira is done immediately before the bringing of the Omer. Number one, to publicize it. And number two is that it has to be Carmel. It has to be, the kernels have to be fresh and moist. So the truth is, if they cut it in Syria 2 days before and they got it down here, it'd still be fresh. The kernels wouldn't have dried out. So I think that they would have done it a little earlier. There is a risk to that, but I'm sure they tried to keep it as moist as possible. And so that it remained Carmel. It didn't dry out on the way. Hahein Omer. So now the Gemara asks an independent question, which is, the Omer, Ma'ushi Zra B'tchila, can you actually plant for the Omer? We just said here you can harvest for the Omer in order to bring it on Shvi'it. What about violating Shvi'it to plant the Omer in order that you have Omer available for Shvi'it? No answer. This is a classic Yushalmi, poses a question and leaves you without any answer, doesn't say anything.
And the two tzadim of the question here are, one, if Tzirat Omer is a mitzvah and it overrides Shvi'it, maybe also Zriat HaOmer overrides Shvi'it. Or the other side is, maybe Zriat is different than Tzirah. Because with regards to Tzirah, even if you found produce that was already katsur, already harvested, you may not use it. You have to specifically be kotzer l'shem HaOmer. On the other hand, when it comes to Zriat, we don't have a specific need that you planted l'shem HaOmer. If you find stuff that's planted already, that's sufficient with regards to the Omer. And therefore, that's our Safek over here. Again, it seems like this is an independent question without an answer. Some of the Mefarshim suggest that the next Sugya is also trying to answer this question, although the next Sugya could be easily read just in the context of Sfichim without getting involved with this issue of Zriah.
So then they moved on. Rabbi Chia bar Ado Baikumi Rabbi Mano. Chia bar Ado, fifth generation Amora, asked before Rabbi Mano, who we see a lot in the Gemara here of another fifth generation Amora. Lo nimtza kikometz al shirayim she'en echalim. Isn't this a case where it's like a kometz of a shirayim that can't be eaten? We have a din, which we've seen before, which is that has to be mina mutar beficha. When you bring a korban, it has to be something that you could eat yourself. I mean, it has to be something that's permissible to be consumed by a Jew, a Israeli, and then it can be placed on the mizbeach. If you can't eat it, then it can't go on the mizbeach as well. Same thing is true here by the Mincha. You can't put a kometz on the Mizbeach in an instance where, by putting the kometz on the Mizbeach, the Shirayim cannot be eaten. It poses the question, says, wait a minute. Isn't the situation here, Tzvichim of Shvi'it are Asur Ba'achila? There's a Takanat Chachamim, Gzerat Chachamim with regards to Tzvichim that you're not allowed to eat them. Tzvichim Shvi'it are Asur to Ba'achila. So now, if they're Asur Ba'achila and you put the kometz on the Mizbeach, you're left with the Shirayim that cannot be eaten. So how is he putting the kometz on his back for something that the residual cannot be eaten? So this is the way Yerushalmi poses the question. The way the Bavli poses the question is, don't we have a din with regards to Shvi'it? Is la'achla v'lo l'sreifa. That you only can use produce of Shvi'it to eat it, you may not burn it. So over here, you're putting the kometz on the Mizbeach, you're putting on Tzvichei Shvi'it, you're putting on something with Kedushat Shvi'it on the Mizbeach, and it's being burnt. So how is that possible? Amar le, your response to him, Naseh kechamisha dvarim she'im ba'im b'tumah, ve'in achalim b'tumah. This is something we saw in the Gemara in Pesachim. There are certain items that are brought bituma, even though they cannot be eaten bituma. Garment of Esach is ba bituma, nechal tuma. So because of that, you have certain exceptions to this rule, which is that the carbonotes are so important to get on the Mizbeach that we allow them to override tuma, despite the fact that on the residual, they will not be able to be eaten. And same is true here. This is an exception to the rule. It's one of those cases where, even though the kometz goes on the Mizbeach and the shirayim cannot be eaten, that we permit, that we allow in these extenuating circumstances. So those examples that are brought there, in terms of the items, of the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, those are items that are by Ba B'tumah, because they're Karmanot at Tzibur. So they're Ba B'tumah, even though the Shirayim are not eating B'tumah. So he makes it that Shvi'it has the same din as Tumah. Since it has the same din as Tumah, Omer overrides Tumah, despite the fact it can't be eaten, so too Omer will override Shvi'it to allow it to go on the Mizbeach, but not necessarily for the residual to be eaten. Alright, so now the Yerushalmi asked another question, which is, again, you don't have any transition here, so you don't know that, but this question is not related to what we said before. This is a question on the Mishnah, which is, Ketzad Hu Oseh, what does he do? What do you mean, what does he do? We don't even know what they're referencing. What does he do? The question here is, how do they buy the produce from the people who are watching him? How do they pay the Shomrei Tzvichim? The problem is, you have money that is Kadosh. Money that is Kadosh, you want to now give to the Shomrei Tzvichim, then how does it go out from Kabing Kadosh to Chulin? In order for the Kedusha to transfer, you need to transfer onto some object, and then it goes out to Chulin. That's how you're Michalel the Ma'ot. That's how you take the Kedusha off the Ma'ot. But if you simply pay the workers in the Mikdash, there's no Chilul Ma'ot, and they're ending up with money that's Kodesh. So how do you facilitate this? He says, Notel Ma'ot min HaShulchani. They borrow money from the Shulchani, the money changers. So you see here, the money changers were not just money changers, they're also bankers of sorts. They lend money. They were here facilitating the Mikdash to borrow money. They take money from the Shulchani, v'notein the kotzrim or the shomrim. They give it to those people that harvest and they watch the Tzvichei Shvi'it. They have to pay them out of the Shumat HaLishka. Ad shelo yikra ba'omer. Then that's prior to the Omer's brat. Umevi ma'ot mi'shumat HaLishka. Then they bring money from the Shumat HaLishka. Umechalalin alav. Once they deliver the actual produce to the Mikdash, The Mikdash purchases that produce from them with the monies of the Shumata Lishka. V'tavot kein? Does that really work? Because the value that you are paying here far exceeds the underlying value of the produce that is brought to you. The produce that you brought to you, you're paying far in excess of that because you're trying to capture the wages of all the individuals involved. So what type of chilul is this? So Rav Acha b'shem Rabbi Abba says, the fourth generation Amora, in the name of third generation Amora, whatever you're paying now is the value from the beginning. Basically, what they're saying is, there are embedded costs in producing this. When you have the wheat that is brought before you in order to use for the te'alechem and the se'orim, the barley that's brought for you for the omer, you're not just looking at wheat and barley. That would cost you a certain price in the shuk. You're looking at wheat and barley that have embedded costs of being watched and being harvested specifically for the needs of the Mikdash. It's the equivalent of Shmura Matzah. When you buy wheat that was Shamur, if I went into the market, you're way overpaying for wheat. But why are you overpaying for that wheat? Because that wheat was Shamur. So you're paying for the embedded cost of the Shmirah that changes, makes this wheat into a unique status. So it's over here. When you're paying for the wheat, you're not just paying for the market price of the wheat. You're paying for the embedded cost of what it took to bring the wheat to this point in time. And therefore, it is the true value of the item. And therefore, they paid for the wheat, and the money, it was nitchalel on the wheat, and then that money was used to pay back the shulchanim who lent the money to the mikdash. Tana, Gemara says, also, af b'fatachei avanim, kain. Also, with the stone workers, we did the same thing. Ketzad, who was set, how do you do this? Again, you take from the shulchani, they lend money. They give it to the chutz. Chutzvim are quarriers, and the satatim are stone cutters, or maybe even chiselers of the stone, the ones who decorate the stones. Now here, in terms of chutzvim, the word in the original Yushami is kotzavim or katzavim. A katzav is usually used by a butcher, not by stone cutting. Maybe in Yushami was a katzavim. We don't find it. Therefore, they, on the side, marked it as kotzavim. That's why we have in the gears here kotzavim. But the original Yushami language was a katzavim. Ad shelotin atein al gabi adimos. Before they put it onto the row of bricks, or the row of stones, umishnitan ala dimos, once they put it onto the pile, mevima ot mishmata lishka umichalin alea, and they purchase it. So what they do is borrow money from the shulchani, and they pay the stone cutters, they pay for all the work that's done on the stones. Then they bring the stones up to put on the row of stones that's being put there, and then they purchase the stone. At that point in time, they purchase the stone. And that takes the kedusha of the money, places it onto the stone. And once it's placed on the stone, then they take that money of chulin and they pay back the shulchani. In the Bavli, Kamal says that all building for the Mikdash was done b'chol, and then brought afterwards to the Kodesh, because it says when people donate money to the Mikdash, they are makdish the money. The money is Kodesh. So the only way to do that, you can't have something built b'kodesh and then transfer the kodesh money onto the item. Then there's no chulin, there's no mitchalel. So therefore, Shmuel believes that everything is done b'chulin and then afterwards brought in order to exchange it for the money inside. The Gemara asks him, "B'tavat kain, is it really a good job here? You're overpaying for the stones now." So Rabbi Yossi says again, "Bei Rabbi Bon, b'shem Shmuel." So now you have Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Bon in the name of Shmuel. It's very interesting. You have a fifth generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, quoting Shmuel, who's a first generation Amora in Bavel. That's a huge gap between them. And nobody comments on that, but it's true that Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Bon spent a lot of time in Bavel. You know, he's an Amora Eretz Israeli. He went to Bavel, and he's a large provider of a lot of the memorial from Bavel. So it must be that he picked up in Bavel a memorah from Shmuel, and that's what he brings back. It's clear that he never saw Shmuel and that he never interacted with Shmuel. Interesting that he doesn't have anybody between him and Shmuel in terms of this memorah. Whatever he gives now is the embedded cost of bringing the stone to this point in time. It's above the true value or the fair value of the stones currently, but it has those embedded costs inside of it. The one other thing we have to note here is that Gemara says, Notel ma'ot, where do they pay it from? Mishumat alishka, which is very difficult. Because the Shumat Lishka in our Mishnah, we already said, is only used for Karbanot HaTzibur and for paving the Shomrim. Right, so how here are they buying the stones? So the answer is, most likely it's Sharei HaLishka, and therefore the Girsi is probably incorrect. It's not Shumat Lishka, but rather Sharei HaLishka, or it should have nothing and just say Lishka, MeHaLishka, in general, and from whichever part of the Lishka is relevant over here. But it probably should not say Shumat HaLishka, which seems to be incorrect in this instance. Okay, next Mishnah. Para, which is the para duma, the seir mishtaleach, that's the seir that sent out the zazel on Yom Kippurim, v'lashon shel zehorit, and the crimson string, ba'in mitumat alishka, they all come from tumat alishka. Now the lashon zehorit, as we'll see, is used in a number of these processes, and all of them get bought out of tumat alishka. Kevesh para, the kevesh seir mishtaleach, they used to build a ramp to take the para duma from wherever they were keeping it. Remember, they tried to do the para duma al tara, tara, super tara. So one of the, they kept young kohanim from the time they were born. They lived on houses that were put up on arches that created a open halal under them so they couldn't have any tumat oil. There would be no tumat home. And those young kohanim were then taken on top of animals that acted like an ohel so they couldn't have any tumat. They took them across a bridge to Har HaZeitim on which the para duma was done. So they built a bridge. Take them across from where they were located by the Mikdash all the way across to Har HaZeitim on a bridge so they didn't have to go down into the valley below. They also, Kevesh Asir Mishalech, was also a ramp that was built, bridge built for the person who's taking the Seir Lazazel out to the Midbar. So that he didn't have to go all the way down and out to the valley, he went straight across out to Midbar Yehuda. So they built a bridge across. So both of those bridges came out of the Shka. The Lashon Sheben Karnav, as well as the string that went between the horns of the Seir HaMishtaleach. That was the red string that went between the horns to know whether they were forgiven. If it turned white, the chut hasheni turns to lavan, as I know that they were forgiven. V'amat amayim, the aqueduct that brought the water into the Mikdash and then ran out through the Mikdash. There was a water channel that ran through the Mikdash. V'chomol ta'ir, and the walls of the city. Migdalota, and the towers of the city. Chol tzarcheir, anything to do with Yerushalayim, needs of the city. Bain mishayarei alishka, come from the leftovers of the lishka. Abba Sholomer, kevesh para, kohenim gadolim osim mishel atzman. Ramp that was built for the para duma came out of the pocket of the kohen agadol. If kohen agadol was going to do a para duma in his time period, then he donated the ramp in that case. Now, motar shiarei alishka. So over here, just before we do this, just give you a quick introduction about what we have here. When we have the Mikdash or the Lishka, we have what we call the Lishka. The Lishka is the treasury. From the treasury, we take out the Trumat HaLishka. Now, from the Trumat HaLishka, we also have what's also called the Shearei HaLishka, what's left behind in the Otsar. You have the Truma, which is taken off, and the Shearei HaLishka, what's left behind. Then, in addition to that, we have Motar Trumat HaLishka. If they don't use up all of the Trumat HaLishka they took off of the Kavanot Tzibur, that's called Mutar Trumat HaLishka, the leftovers of the Trumat HaLishka. In addition to that, you have motar sheirei mishka. That which is left behind after you take off the chuma is the sheirei lishka. If you have leftover from that, then you have motar sheirei halishka. You have four different categories here of monies. One is the chumat lishka, sheirei lishka, motar chumat lishka, and motar sheirei lishka. So those are the four different categories you should be aware of as the Tanaim are speaking over here. In addition to that, we have what's called motar nisachim, the leftover price of the nisachim. If they gave money to pay for nisachim and it exceeded the value of what they needed to bring the nesach, that's called motar nisachim. And then motar peirot seems to be the leftovers of the monies made by the business of hekdesh, which we'll discuss in the Mishnah in 1 second. So just that's the background. So Agamara says, motar sheirei alishka. The leftovers of the stuff that was left behind in the lishka. Mayu simben. According to this, you buy with them wine, oil, and flour, which the Mikdash had an advantageous buying power here, because they contracted with people to supply them, and they always got the lower price. The lower price of the contracted price versus the market price. They got the lower of the two. They basically bought an option, a call option, on the price, which was that if the price went up, they got it at this fixed price. If it didn't went down, they just took the lower price. So they had advantageous buying power here. V'asachar l'ekdesh, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says they buy it, sell it off to people, and the profits that they make here go into hekdesh. So they're able to make money, some money for hekdesh. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein bistakrim b'shel hekdesh. You don't do business with hekdesh. It's inappropriate. They don't get involved in business transactions. They're hekdesh. Hekdesh is above that. Af lo mishel aniim. And Rabbi Akiva, who we know is the gabbai tzedakah with regards to money of aniim, he says if you collect money for the tzedakah of aniim, you may not do business with that as well. Even though the benefit or the profits go to the aniim or the profits go to hekdesh, it's not proper to do that. Because there's always the possibility of losses. The possibility of losing that money. Motar ha-truma. What do they do with the motar? Truma talishka. Mayu simba. They used to make it into paneling, gold paneling, for the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. They used to flatten it out, pound it up by gold, flatten it out, and then put it on the walls of the Kodesh HaKodeshim as plating. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mutar HaPerot. Now, Perot here seems to be what he considered to be the prophets before. He allowed you to do business with Pekdesh, so the Mutar HaPerot. The prophets from that, Kates the Mizbeach, or Kites the Mizbeach, they go on to the times when the Mizbeach is idle, you can bring Golot on that Mizbeach. Motar Chuma, the Kli Sharet. He says that the leftovers of the Chuma Talishka go to purchase Kli Sharet, to purchase utensils for the Mikdash. Bekiva Omer, Motar Chuma, the Kates the Mizbeach. Since he doesn't do business with Hekdesh, he has to come up with something else to pay for the Kates the Mizbeach, and that's the Motar Chuma, the leftovers of the Chuma Talishka, which are for Karbonot Tzibur. They fill in more Karbonot Tzibur, which are Olot that go on the Mizbeach. Motar Nisachim, the Kli Sharet. On the other hand, the leftovers of Nisachim go to Kli Sharet. Mechanan Yiskana Koni Omer, Motar Nisachim, Kates LeMizbeach. The leftovers of Nisachim go to the Kates LeMizbeach. Motar Shuma, the Kli Sharet. On the other hand, the Motar Shuma goes to Kli Sharet, so it's the opposite of what we just saw before in Rabbi Akiva's position. Vzeh vzeh lo ayu modim bepeirot. Both of them don't agree to Rabbi Shmuel that there were peirot here, meaning that there were profits from Hekdesh, because they both agree that you don't do business with the monies of Hekdesh. And now the Gemara says, Kevesh para b'chule. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Mishim Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, who we bumped into earlier in the Masechta, who was a second, third generation Amora, in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, who was a first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, who we bumped into earlier in the Masechta, who was a second, third generation Amora, in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, who was a first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Gimel Lishonot Haim. There are three different Lishonot. Lishonot here are these strings or pieces of wool. Shel Seir. The Seir HaMishtaleach. That's the one they put between his horns. That's the one they put on around the rock before they threw him off the edge. And that's the one they had in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Besela. It cost, they sell it. That was the value of what it cost to purchase it. Shel Mitzorah. The part of the Tarata Mitzorah is when he brings the eight Erez and the Ezov, he ties them together with a Nitolat. That Nitolat is Bishekel, which is half the price. It's half the price of the one that's used by the Seir HaMishtaleach. Shel Parah, in the Sreifat HaParah, some things that are thrown into there, the Ezov and the Eitz Erez, and a Shnitolat. That Shnitolat is B'shtei Salayim. That's twice the price of the Seir HaMishtaleach. That was the most expensive one. So the understanding being that it needs to be the heaviest, because it's got to sink and go into the fire and burn up. So that's got to be heavier, it's got to be of a thicker material. The Seir HaMishtaleach has to last through the being dumped off the side there, so it has to be a little thicker. And the one for the Mitzorah is the thinnest of them because it's just used to wrap together the Ezov and the Eight Erez. Rabbi Ponya Debrat Chavrin, we saw earlier in the Masechta, in the name of Rabbi Abba Barzavda, B'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Shelpara B'shtei Slayim Umechza. It's actually 2.5 Sela, the one they brought for the Para. V'itamafkin Lishna Basara Zuz. And some say it that it's 10 Zuz. That we know the Sela is equal to 4 dinarim, 4 dinarei kesef. It's equivalent of 4 zuz. So if you take 2.5 Sela, 2.5 Sela is equivalent of 10 zuz or 10 dinarim. And so some people express it as 10 dinarim rather than 2.5 Sela. Now Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel. Tamidei chachamim hamlamdim et hakohanim. Halachot shchita, halachot kabbalah, halachot zvika. Hatlim tzcharan mitrumat alishka. Those Talmidei Chachamim that teach the Kohanim, all the Dinim, with regards to Shechita, Kabbalat Adam and Zrikat Adam, the major Avodot, with regards to the Karmanot, they got paid out of the Trumat HaLishka. Their salaries came out of Trumat HaLishka. Now this is a Gemara that's found in the end of Tubot, in the last paragraph of Tubot, that talks about monies for the Trumat HaLishka were used to pay for certain public officials that were around in the Mikdash or in Yerushalayim. What's interesting over here is that these Talmidei Chachamim were getting paid for, quote-unquote, teaching Torah. Here they're teaching the dinim. So you have to question why exactly. They were paid to be available, or they were paid to teach. The question might here be here that they had an official position, and they were paid for this position, not for the teaching of the Torah in particular. They were paid to be available to any questions that were in the Mikdash. So that's one item that was paid out of this. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Zifa,
a fourth generation Amora from Eretz Yisrael.
B'shem Imi
is Rabbi Ami, who is a third generation Amora from Eretz Yisrael.
Mevakrei mumei kodeshim notnim tzcharam mitrumat alishka. Those that checked the mumim on the kodeshim to make sure that they were without the mum on them, they also got paid out of the trumat alishka. That makes sense, because this is something that's ancillary to the bringing of the karbanot. So since it's a facilitator of the karbanot, you pay out of the trumat alishka to bring the karbanot tzibur from this.
Rabbi Acha, who's an Amora in the fourth generation, says the name Rabbi Tamchum Bar Chia, an Amora in the third generation in Eretz Yisrael, B'shem Rabbi Shlimlai, who is an Amora in the second generation in Eretz Yisrael. Migiei Sefer HaEzara, or the other Gersa is Migiei Sefer Ezra, which were the same thing, the Sefer and the Ezra, supposedly Torah, that was brought from Ezra, Nutlin Skarami Chumat Alishka. They also got paid out of the Chumat Alishka to maintain that Sefer Torah. Gidul Bar Binyamin, who is an Amora in the second generation in Bavel, B'shem Rabbi Asi, who is a Babylonian Amora in the first generation. Shnei Dayanei Gzeilot Nodim Skara Mitzumat Alishka. The two judges that dealt with issues of Gzeilot also got paid up Mitzumat Alishka. This again is in the Gemara Ketubot, which is that they were the head judges in the Yerushalayim. They ran all the Batei Din and all the issues that came up with Gzeilot. They dealt with those issues, and so they were paid out of Shumat HaLishka because of their position as a position of authority and being basically right, the chief justice of issues of Gzeilot. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel was obviously a first generation Amora in Bavel. Shmuel says, Nashim or Goat Ba Parochet, Notlim Skaram Shumat HaLishka. The women that weave the Parochet get their money out of Shumat HaLishka. They get paid out of Shumat HaLishka. Again, all of these individuals again the same problem we had before, which is, how do you pay them? Because you can't pay them out of Shumat HaLishka, because that money is Kodesh. You're going to have to come up with some sort of system that's going to allow you to pay them and transfer the Kedusha of the money. All right, you have to use the Shulchanim again, but here you don't have a physical material in most of these cases on which to transfer the Kedusha. The women, you have the Parochet, which is easier, but by the others, you don't have a physical object on which to transfer the Kedusha. So that's much more difficult for the teachers and for the people that were the head judges. Their salaries came out of Shumat HaLishka. You have to find out a method for transferring the Kedusha. Bichona Amar, who is one of the Amoraim in the second generation in Bavel, says, Mitrumat Berek Abayit, they brought it. They brought it out of the Trumat of Berek Abayit. My colleague, what is the machloket about over here? One of them says it comes out of Trumat Alishka, and one of them says it comes out of Trumat Berek Abayit. Shmuel says, Avodah ki Korban. They made it like a korban. Ravuna avodah kibinyan. It's like a part of the binyan. So over here, their machloket revolves around what is the status of this item. Is the parochet a facilitator of the korbanot? Therefore, the weaving of the parochet is paid for by Trumat HaLishka. Because without the parochet there, you can't bring the korban. Or is it a part of the binyan? It's part of the building. I mean, the parochet is a doorway between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and therefore, it is part of the Binyan, it comes out of Chumat Berek HaBayit. Amar Rabbi Chizkiya, who's an Amora in Eretz Yisrael in the fourth generation. Tzna, Rabbi Yehuda, we have in our gear says Gud Gadot, the other gear says Grugerot. Might be that that was his profession, that he dealt with dry figs. And who's an Amora in Eretz Yisrael, which we don't have the exact timing of him, because we don't know who he's interacting with to know exactly what period he is from. We have a brayta from Yehuda Gad Gadot, Haktoret, v'chol karbanot tzibor bayim mitzumat alishka. Karbanot tzibor, the ktoret, anything that was bought for the tzibor was used out of tzumat alishka. On the other hand, mizbeach hazahav, v'chol kli sharet, the mizbeach, the golden mizbeach, which is the mizbeach apnimi, which the ktoret was brought on, and the kli sharet, bayim mimotar nisachim, they come from the excess monies from the nisachim. Mizbeach haula, the outer mizbeach, which is known as the mizbeach haula, v'ayichal, Vazarot, mean the building, the structure itself, Bayim Isharei Alishka, they come from the leftovers of the Lishka. Chutz Le'azarot, anything outside of the Azara, Bayim Lishkat Berek Abayit, they come out from the Lishka of Berek Abayit, the specific monies that were donated for the upkeep of the building. Va'atani, don't we have a bright that says, Avnei HaMizbeach HaEichal Vazarot Mo'alim Behen? The stones of the Mizbeach, and of the Eichal, and of the Azara, Mo'alim Behen. You get Mi'ilah from them. Where it says, V'chi yesh Mi'ilah b'shiraim? Is there Mi'ilah in the Shiraim? Well, how are you paying for these items? We just said before that you're paying for these items through Shairei Alishka, the Mizbechot, and the Eichalot, and the Azarot. How is it possible that you're Mo'el in them? How could it be that you have Mi'ilah? Because leftovers don't have Kedusha. Kedusha is only on the items that are the original items, but the leftovers don't have this Kedusha. Ella ki Rabbi Meir. It must be like Rabbi Meir. We saw this earlier again, that Rabbi Meir thinks that Mo'alim b'shirayim, there is Mi'ilah b'shirayim. That's interesting over here. The reason that Rabbi Meir says that you're Mo'el b'shirayim is because the shirayim could possibly be used for, to fill in when the Trumat HaLishka ran out. But over here, they're already done. The reason they're using this money is for the binyan abayit. There's no way they're going to take the stone afterwards and sell it to use for the Eishar Elishka. So it's an interesting answer. So he says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Plum Amar Rabbi Meir L'Betok Shnato. That's only within the year. Because within the year, you could use it to back up the Chumat Elishka. But as Ba'alcho Chutz L'Shnato Anan Kayamin. Here we're talking about even after the first year, because the stones are going to be there forever, and we're talking about the building they used from the leftovers afterwards. So that doesn't have Kedusha. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved in terms of this dira over here. And then the Gemara brings down another memra that we have a braita that was brought by Rabbi Huda Gugorit. So Amar Rabbi Chizkia, who's an Amora in Eretz Yisrael in the fourth generation. Now, we have a braita from Rabbi Huda Gadguniot, Rabbi Huda Gudgadot or Gugorot, again, who's an Amora in Eretz Yisrael, which we don't have the exact timing of him. V'aminora, v'mizbechot, v'parochet, makvim et agormanot. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbayach, the Parochet, Me'akev et Agarmanot. Chomim, Amim, and the Chom Me'akev et Agarman, Ela Kiyor Ba'kan Bilvad. The only thing that stops you from being Karmanot is the Kiyor, the washing basin, the Kan, the base of the washing basin. That's the only thing you need in order to bring Karmanot. So then, Velochein, Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who is a second generation Amora, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, who's also a second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Trehon Amrin, Kohen Dichtiv, any place it says Nochach Me'akev, then it's Me'akev the Korban. Tzela, ain't no Me'akev. It says Tzela, it's not Me'akev. So by the menorah, it says Nochach, and therefore it's Me'akev. By the Shulchan, it says Tzela, it's not Me'akev the Korbanot. Rama Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, the second, third generation Amora, in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, who's a first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Vafilu Tzela Me'akev, even things that say Tzela on them, like the Shulchan, are Me'akev the Korbanot. And Amar Rabbi Elah is Rabbi Eli, who is an Amora in Eretz Yisrael in the third generation. B'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, who we just saw before, is a second, third generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Filu Sima Ma'akev, even something that has placement mentioned by it, which is the Aron, the Parochet, and the Mizbechot, they also Ma'akev. So how are you going to explain this? They're saying all these things are Ma'akev, the Karbanot. And the Chachamim say, in the Chachamim, it's a Korban, except the Kiyor Ba'kan. So how are they arguing on the Chachamim over here? So they're not holding like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is a Dat Yochid. How do we resolve this issue of the Breita that we just brought vis-a-vis these Amoraim that have a differentiated opinion and seem to be holding like Rabbi Meir and not like the Chachamim? And the answer is, I'm a Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hananya from Tzipori, who is a Eretz Yisrael Amora in the fifth generation. Kan Babudashi Bifnim, Kan Babudashi Bechutz. Depends where you're doing the Avoda. If you're doing the avoda in the Azara, you're doing it on the Mizbech HaOlah, none of these items are Me'akev. The Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Parochet, none of these items are Me'akev when you're outside doing a Korban on the outer Mizbech or Avodah outside. For Avodah Pnim, to bring the Korban and the Ketoret on the Mizbech Zahav, or to do anything with the Mizbech Zahav, Yom Kippur, the Parim and Nisufim, Sirim and Nisufim, then all of these items are Me'akev. Machloket Amorim, what exactly is Me'akev? But these items like the menorah, the shulchan, the aron, parochet, and the mizbech hazav will be ma'akev in the instances of avodat pnim. So that's how we'll differentiate between these amoraim and the statement of the chachamim that nothing's ma'akev except the kiyor and the kan. That's for avodat chutz, only kiyor and kan. Avodat pnim, you need all these other trappings to be there in order to do the avodat pnim.
At the end of the day, it's still coming.
It has a big nafkamina, for instance, today. If you want to go start bringing the karbanot on the Mizbeach Olah, can you do that without all these other items? The answer is yes, you can do them. You only need the Kiyor the Kan and then a Mizbeach. Maybe not even a Mizbeach. You can do it on the floor. As Zerah was in Kadesh HaDei Shlomo HaMelech. The question is, what's Ma'akev, your ability to bring a korban today? And this has a big nafkamina about what is Ma'akev and what's not Ma'akev. Things that are Ma'akev Pnim. They're not Ma'akev Pnim. That means you don't need those items to do the Avodat Chutz. Okay, we'll stop over here.